How many times has God in your life and in my life has not only warned us, but intervened and stepped in so that we wouldn't sin? But then there's been other times where we haven't listened to the Lord, and because we tempt the Lord, and because of our own desires and our own flesh, what happens? We get ourselves in a situation that it shouldn't be, and we fall.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Raul Reese in Diamond Bar, California. Raul once lived in total rebellion against God and even planned to take his own life. Then God intervened and led Raul to surrender to the Lord Jesus. For Raul's story of healing and transformation that he's experienced through Christ, visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or for a free DVD, call 800-634-9165. Today, as Raul continues our study of Genesis, we'll take a look at the divergent spiritual journeys of Abraham and his nephew, Lot. We'll see that while Abraham followed the Lord with faith and a heart of worship, Lot allowed worldly enticements to cloud his judgment and inform his decisions. Stay with us for encouragement to surrender to God as you walk with Him by faith and not by sight. Here's Raul Reese.
Now in chapter 12, beginning with verse 1, we have the call of Abraham. And now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country and from your kindred, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will be with those that bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Notice what God says. Promises Abram. The promise that through Abram, the Messiah would come. Jesus Christ would come through the line of Abram. This is the beginning that before the law of God was given, this is God now dealing with Abram and with his family. Calling him that he, even though he came from a heathen home, God is not only going to use his life, but God is going to bless him, and the Messiah is going to come through his line. That's what he's teaching here. And it's actually a prophecy, not only of the coming Messiah, but a blessing how God would bless the Jew and would curse those that would curse the Jews too. Notice that. Watch this in verse 4. And then Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him, his nephew. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And that's when his father finally died. And now he departs at 75 years old. And now he begins to hear the voice of God. And by the way, in verse 1 of chapter 12, we have the first appearance of God to Abraham. There'll be seven appearances that God will come to Abraham seven times. This is the first appearance in chapter 12, verse 1. And then it says in verse 5, and Abraham took Sarah, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran, and they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. Notice that here God blesses Abraham with everything, and yet, notice that we hinder God's will when we're disobedient to Him and not really taking on the whole call of God when He calls you to leave everything behind. We see that. Notice here again in verse 6, Abram passed through the land and the place of Shechem, which is right in the center of the country. And it says this, and as far as the Terebinth tree of Moreh, and the Canaanites were there in the land, and the Canaanites were the heathens. These were the ones that were worshiping the different types of gods. This is where the Jews learn about idolatry, copying the worship of idolatry through these people in the land of Canaan. They're called the Canaanites. And then the Lord appeared, second appearance of God, to Abram and said, to your descendants I will give this land, and there will be an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. So here we begin to see the walk of faith by Abram as God now begins to lead him. Notice how God communicates with Abram all the way, talking to him, leading him. Abram, step one, this is what I want you to do. Step two, wait until further instructions. That's the way God really speaks to us, as we make one step at a time and he leads us. And sometimes we have to leap out by faith. Maybe I don't hear from God. I don't feel from God. I don't see anything from God. But I know in my heart that this is the right thing. So I take a leap of faith, and then God honors what I do. We learn and live by experience. Why? Because our walk is by faith and not by sight. And that's what we learn here with Abram as he begins to walk by faith here in chapter 12, verse 7. Then he says, then he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel. This is the first time Bethel is mentioned, and it literally means the house of God. This is the place where not only Abraham, but Isaac and Jacob came. And this is the place of our first love. This is where we first meet God in our relationship with the Lord. He says, and there he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west, and Ai, which means heap of ruins. It's about 10 miles from Jerusalem. He says, on the east, and there Abram, he built an altar to the Lord, and he called on the name of the Lord. Notice how Abram is a man that enters into worship with God. Here before the law is established, Abram begins to build an altar to the Lord, not only for himself, but he begins to teach his wife. He begins to teach his nephew how important altar worship is in the home. At this particular time, also in the book of Job, because the book of Job is one of the oldest books, if you read chapter 1, you see that Job also had an altar in his home. Not, he didn't have a table and an altar. What I'm saying is that Job spent time praying and reading the scriptures and praying for his family and giving his family devotional time so they too could grow in the Lord. I think that's something that is lacking in so many homes today, where the father is not the spiritual head of his home. And yet we see it here as Abram begins to build an altar to the Lord, and he calls on the name of the Lord. He was a man that took time to worship God, but also in worshiping God, teaching his nephew and his wife about the importance of worship in the presence of God. And so Abram journeyed, going on still towards the south. And now there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt. Now, notice that here Abram is not really being led by God to go to Egypt. Why? Because Egypt is the type of the world. Here we have for the first time a man of God that is called by God. We see him in a lapse of faith, just like you and I. How many times have we failed God because we haven't really checked in with him? Even though there was a famine in the land, God would have provided for Abraham. But he decided to go to Egypt, when God never told him to go to Egypt. Yet he went. Look what it says. Here we see how he flunked the test of faith here. And now there was a famine in the land of Abram. He went down to Egypt and to sojourn there, for the famine was severe in the land. And it came to pass, when he was very close to entering Egypt, that he stopped and he said to his wife Sarah, look, Sarah, I know that you are a beautiful woman. She's 65 years old and she's still beautiful. Imagine that. And she said, I know that before we enter Egypt, the culture of that time is that any sojourner that would come to Egypt, you would literally bring a present to the king of Egypt, and many times it would be a daughter to give to him for his harem. Sarah and Abraham didn't have any children yet. And so he was actually worried that because she was so beautiful, the Egyptians would go ahead and take her captive and they would kill Abram. Instead of trusting in the Lord, here we see Abram scheming with his wife. Notice this. Interesting. Watch what he does. Indeed, I know that you're a beautiful woman, beautiful in countenance. Therefore, it will happen that when the Egyptians see you, that they will say, this is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will let you live. And Sarah, I don't want to die. Notice this. The reason she was so beautiful, the Egyptians were dark-complected, where she was actually real light complexion. She was beautiful. At the age of 65, and the Egyptians looked at white skin and worshipped it. And here's where we see what's happening here. And then he says to her, honey, please say that you're my sister. And that was, actually, it's a half-truth, half-sister, okay? Why don't you tell him you're my sister? That it may be well with me from your sake. Notice that I may live because of you. Notice good old Abram here. And so it was that when Abram came into Egypt, that the Egyptians saw the woman, just as he said, and that she was very beautiful. And then the princesses of Pharaoh also saw her, all the women, and they commended her to Pharaoh, and the woman was taken to Pharaoh's house. And he treated Abram well for her sake. And he had sheep and oxen and male donkeys and male and female servants and female donkeys and camels. Abraham was real rich. God had blessed him. And yet here, he's actually conniving. Incredible here. Notice what happens. But the Lord plagued the house of Pharaoh in his house with great plagues because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. Notice how God's faithful here to protect the line of Jesus Christ. He steps in. He doesn't allow it to happen. How many times has God in your life and in my life has not only warned us, but intervened and stepped in so that we wouldn't sin? I mean, I can tell you of many times. I knew it was the Lord. But then there's been other times where we haven't listened to the Lord, and because we tempt the Lord, and because of our own desires and our own flesh, what happens? We get ourselves in a situation that it shouldn't be, and we fall. Many times that happens to many people. When God the whole time was speaking and warning you not to go down, not to do that, and yet you went ahead and did, and you thought you were strong, and you said, Lord, I can handle this, when you know you can't handle it. And that's what happened to Abram here. And then Pharaoh called Abram and said, hey, what is this with you that you've done to me? Why did you not tell me that she was your wife? Why did you say she's my sister? I might have taken her as my wife. And now, therefore, here is your wife. Take her and go your way. And then Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him that they send him away with his wife and all that he had. Pharaoh didn't even want to mess with it. Abram just left. And he blessed him. God protected him. Now Abram returning from Egypt. And then Abram went up from Egypt, and he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot was with him in the south. And of course, again, here we now see Abram coming back in fellowship with God. And Abram was very rich in livestock and silver and gold. And he went with his journey from the south as far as Bethel, the house of the Lord, into the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Ai. What does he do? When he goes back to Egypt and he has a lapse of faith, where does he come back? He comes back to the house of the Lord. He comes back to his first love. That's always where God wants us to return. Whenever we backslide. Whenever we go away from God, when we repent and we get it right with God, we always come back to Bethel, to the house of the Lord, our first love. And then he came back to the place, verse 4, to the place of the altar which he had made there at first, and there Abraham called on the name of the Lord. Notice that. How beautiful here. And Lot also, who went with Abraham, had flocks and herds and tents. And now the land was not able to support both of them, that they might dwell together, for their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. Now listen, many times when you have someone with you and they're not in God's perfect will, for example, you're a spiritual person, but you're hanging out with somebody that is carnal. God has ways of separating both parties. Here we see it in the life of Abram and Lot. Even though Uncle Abram loves his nephew Lot, yet all of a sudden, because both of them are so rich, they begin to clash, their herdsmen and all of their flocks, they begin to clash with one another, and there was a division between the herdsmen of Abram and the herdsmen of Lot. And God used that division. Division sometimes is good, because God wants to build the kingdom of God somehow, another way. But at the same time, sometimes through a division, as he separates one person from another person, it's because God wants to accomplish something greater in that person's life that maybe he cannot as long as that person is hanging out with that other person. And this is what we see here. That as long as Lot was with Abram, God could not do a full work in the life of Abram, because God called him to leave everything behind. Watch what happens. Verse 7. And there was a strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. And the Canaanites and the Perizzites, they dwelt in that land. And Abram said to Lot, look, please let there be no strife between you and me. Hey, you're my nephew. I'm your uncle. Why should we fight? The land is big enough to take care of both of us. I'm going to tell you something, Lot. I want you to take the first choice and you choose what place you want for your sheep and for everything you have, and you can have it. Notice the humility of Abraham as he waits upon the Lord. He doesn't make the decision, but who makes the decision? Carnal Lot. Watch what it says. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If you take the left, then I will go to the right. Or if I go to the right, then you can have the left. Notice how gracious Abraham is here. What I see here concerning Abraham is a man of faith, but also a man of maturity. He's mature in the Lord, where Lot is a man of sight and he's carnal. He's a man of the world. When somebody's a spiritual person, he's tuned in to what's being said. Why? Because God is speaking to me. I need instruction. I need God to speak to me. And whenever someone is not growing in the Lord, I guarantee you there will be signs of carnality in that person's life. And Paul the Apostle in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 gives us all of the signs of carnality. Division making. And the reason is because they haven't been in prayer and in the Word. But they're doing actually something else. And here we see the life of Lot and the life of Abram. Watch here in verse 10. This is the first step. If you want to mark this is the first step to Lot's backsliding. Verse 10 says, and Lot lifted up his eyes and he saw the plains of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere. You know what he did? He got up and he said, okay, Abraham, I can choose whatever I want. Yes, whatever you want. And all of a sudden, Lot's eyes caught the plains of Sodom and Gomorrah, which at that time was beautiful tropical area before Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed by God. And his eyes began to see how beautiful the area was. He was actually being attracted by the world. The first step to anyone backsliding, it starts with the eyes, a man of sight. They become selfish. They start looking out for themselves. What can I get? How can I do better than everybody else? They don't care about anybody else but themselves. Very selfish in their motives. And this is what we see here with Lot. He lifted up his eyes toward the Jordan. Before the Lord destroys Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as you go toward Soar. And notice, and Lot chose for himself all the plains of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated from one another. Notice, finally God separates Lot and Abram. Now God can begin to do a tremendous work in the life of Abram. Verse 12. This is the second step. And then Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plains. And notice, and he pitched his tent even as far as Sodom and Gomorrah. He first of all saw the plains, that it was attractive. He was attracted by the world and the things of the world. Pretty soon he says, you know, I'm kind of far. Why don't I move next to Sodom and Gomorrah? That was his second step. The third step you'll see when we get to chapter 19, where now we see him sitting at the gates of Sodom and Gomorrah, and he is a judge to the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. Totally in carnality. Totally a man of the world. Totally gone back on the Lord. There are so many people like that today. They're only thinking of themselves. They don't think what God intends to do in their lives. And Satan uses those things against people. Notice again, verse 13. But the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord. Notice what he chose. He was attracted to wickedness. He was attracted to the things of the world. He really wasn't attracted to the things of God. There are so many kids like this today. So many young people that don't have a real desire for the things of God. But men, when it comes to the things of the world, put it this way, they will lose sleep over it, but the things of the Lord, forget it. Priorities are all messed up. And really, you cannot be attracted to the things of God unless you're submitting yourself to the Lord. Unless you're giving your life to the Lord. Otherwise, the world will steal your heart from the Lord. You see, if you're constantly listening to secular music, what are you doing? You're listening to garbage, things that are tearing down, not building up. And all of a sudden, as you start listening to the music, not only you start singing the words, but you start becoming like the song says, you start doing those things because it's hitting your subconscious. The mind is very powerful.
It's easy to pass judgment on Lot for giving in to worldly temptations, but if we're honest, we know it's also easy to follow in his footsteps of spiritual compromise. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. If you'd like to review today's message, we'll send you a complete unedited copy for a donation of any amount. Our phone number is 800-634-9165. And to make your request, just ask for Raul's lesson from Genesis chapters 12 through 14. To help equip you for a life of worship and obedience, we'd like to tell you about an insightful resource titled Storm, Hearing Jesus for the Times We Live In. This hardcover book by Jim Cimbala will show you how to maintain spiritual stability in all of the shifting circumstances of life, just like Abraham did. You'll also be encouraged to see that even when God calls you to move with Him into the unknown, you can walk with Him in confidence through the power of the Holy Spirit. To place your order for Jim Cimbala's book titled Storm, Hearing Jesus for the Times We Live In, visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165. And we'll send you this hardcover title for just $10 plus shipping and handling. Our mailing address, if you'd like to order the resource by writing us, is Somebody Loves You Radio, P.O. Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. And be sure to look for Raul's new YouTube channel by searching Somebody Loves You Worldwide. You'll find our current series as well as legacy studies from Raul's many decades of ministry. And remember, you can also download all of these programs as podcasts through Spotify and iTunes. Our goal is to edify believers and share the gospel with the lost. And your tax-deductible donations help us fulfill that mission and continue broadcasting the life-changing message of the gospel. Join us next time on Somebody Loves You Radio for more insights from the Word of God that will help guide you on your way in a life well-lived for the Lord. Here's Roel now with the final thought from today's lesson.
It grieves your heart if you're a child of the light. How can I be so dumb, or how can I be so rebellious that to continue to put on those earphones or to put on that music that is only destroying my soul and eventually is going to send me to hell? That's what God speaks about. We need to be careful to what we see, what we hear, what we put into our mouth, what goes down into the heart. Because we will become just like that. If you listen to violence, you'll become a violent person. If you're constantly watching soap operas and fornication and adultery, you're going to commit fornication. You're going to commit adultery. You become what you are. You see? That's why it's important to put on the mind of Jesus Christ and to feed upon God's word. So God can bless me. So God can speak to me.
This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.